Hi, Rachel.
How are you?
Good.
Thanks for stopping by.
Of course, I wondered when you were going to run out of real people to talk to and have to call on your best friend to come on the podcast.
Well, you're a great one for this one because we're doing It Takes a Village, and you were a teacher, and I admire you because you have been all over the place with teaching. Mm-hmm. So I would just love to know your history of teaching. I'm sure everybody would. So if you want to share that with us.
Yeah, I started out as a baby 22-year-old teacher in Kyle, Texas. Did that for a year. And then when Josh and I got married and we lived in California, I actually took a couple years off teaching, and I was the secretary of the Malibu Methodist Church and nursery school. So I was still involved with all the nursery school kids. And then we moved to Washington, D.C., and I did 3 years in D.C. public schools, and we had students from all over the city, some from very rich neighborhoods, some from very poor neighborhoods. And as we moved back to Texas, I did 5 years at Hill Elementary, right behind Anderson High School here by church, and a couple years up in Cedar Park where I live. And so it's been a varied teaching experience, all kinds of students, all languages, but all fourth and fifth grade, because they are the best.
Oh, that's what our oldest are in. So it is a sweet age.
Yeah.
Since you have taught so much, I know teachers can make such a big impact in a kid's life. They're with them a lot during the day. How can parents be a better support to teachers? What is that balance of like not too much, but like not uninvolved?
Yeah. That is sometimes hard to strike a balance. And I've worked with parents on both ends of the spectrum. Yeah. Some parents that, because of finances and jobs and culturally, just weren't able to be as involved. And then some parents that were very, very, very involved, able to be up at school all the time. And so finding that balance with your teacher, I think one thing is to trust that your teacher is around your kid a lot and they do know your kid. And sometimes it will surprise you how a kid acts at school as opposed to home. Sometimes they do act different. So if your teacher is telling you about something at school,
maybe take their word.
Take their word for it. Try to see from the teacher's perspective of your kid being in a big group and what that might look like. They may be a lot more shy at school than they are at home. Uh-huh. And if your teacher's telling you that, you know, ask questions and say, how can I talk to him at home to help draw him out? Or it may be the opposite. A lot of kids maybe are way more interactive at school than they are at home, or act out a little more to be the class clown. So just, I think that's the first thing, is trusting that your teacher is seeing what she's seeing at school. But a great teacher will also come to the parents and ask for your support. My view always was that parents are the first teachers. They're the ones that have them at home and know them best. And so as a teacher, I tried to ask parents, what do you see at home? Or tell me more about your kid so I can help understand them. So I think and I know it's hard sometimes for teachers to meet, but most teachers love making conferences with parents. So if you have questions, just get with that teacher and just try to say, I want to have an honest conversation. How are you? What are you seeing in my kid? This is what I see at home. How can we work together? I think that's part of it.
I feel like I do that a lot because we always have those beginning of year conferences in like October. And I'm like, have you seen that much in a month? I don't know. So I always go back in and check in like February or March. Like, how are they really doing now? How are we doing in math and reading? Yeah. Are we kind? Because I feel like that's very important to me out of everything, is the kindness aspect.
Yeah.
You've taught in a lot of public schools, mm-hmm. and I know there are a lot of services for kids that need different things. How do parents, I guess, go about, or like, how would you notice some of those things? Is it a teacher mostly that notices that? Lots of times with like dyslexia or ADHD, if they think that their kid may have something like that going on.
I do think a lot of times the teachers do notice, especially experienced teachers. I mean, I had 60 kids a year for you know, 10 years. So you get to know, oh, this is what a typical fourth grader kind of looks like. And so then when you're seeing someone that's struggling, that was when I would go to the parents and say, hey, I don't know exactly what this is, but I'm noticing this. I think we should talk further or explore further. So I do think oftentimes it's a lot of the teacher noticing. And also a good teacher would, the great thing about public schools, they do have like specialized teachers. So sometimes I would go to a dyslexia teacher and say, hey, would you come watch this kid read for just 5 minutes and see what you think too? Before I went and scared a parent with something like that. But there were times that I, as a teacher, kind of missed it. And a parent would come to me and say, no, I really think this is ADHD, but it's in a girl and it looks different. And so I will say it's a both and. Like, the teacher can come to you, but you as the parent, you really do know your kid best. You really do. So if there's something that you're really concerned about, go with your teacher, go with your doctor, because you really are, you do know your kid best. And I'm thinking of that one particular student. They decided to go on ADHD medication. And it really did change her world. And I thought, man, I, as a teacher, I kind of missed that one. So it's a both and, working with parents and teachers together.
Yeah.
Getting to know that kid.
Going back to just the parents and involvement and uninvolvement, I'm sure you have some parents that are over-involved and like bringing lunches, bringing a water bottle if they forgot it, just things like that, and how that will impact them in the future maybe, or how it's being more hurtful than helpful right now.
That was actually something when we moved to the Austin area and in the particular schools I was in, that was much more of an issue than uninvolvement. And of course you want to support your child and help them in their education. But with those types of things, those are just life lessons that students really should learn. And it is not the end of the world if they forget a water bottle, if they forget a lunch, if they forget their homework. That is okay. It's better to learn that lesson in second, third grade when the consequences are really low. And for that child to think, ooh, maybe next time I need to remember to grab that off the kitchen table, rather than being rescued every time by parents. It's so much better to address that in elementary than to get to high school and these kids have not learned to really do things for themselves or to think they're always going to get bailed out. And just that is one way that the teacher is actually supporting you as a parent, is letting them have those real world experiences at school. And I promise school will not let them starve. There will be lunches. I always had extra snacks in my classroom. But those are just ways to teach them small amounts of responsibility for themselves. And that really, you're robbing them of that life experience every time you go to rescue them, every time you just harp on every small mistake, or you go to the teacher about a bad grade. I mean, sometimes the kids had an off day. Sometimes it's something they really need to relearn. It is okay for everything not to be a 98% all the time on every paper. Every student has room to learn, and that's okay. The grade's not really important. It's the learning and the experience.
Just the life skills that are going to serve you forever.
Absolutely. You know, just quibbling with a teacher about a grade on a second grade spelling test is just not that important. But making sure that your second grader is kind, is learning the skills, is learning to help take care of themselves, that's way more important.
And then, so you have the opposite end of the spectrum where parents that just don't care about grades, don't care if they brought their lunch, don't care. They just may not have the bandwidth either. Yeah. They have so much going on in their lives. They're just, it's enough to get them to school.
Yeah.
How do you see that play out, I guess, and how do you make an influence in that too? And
one practice I learned a really long time ago at an excellent principal when I taught in Washington, D.C., and she said, every week, email two parents about something specific about their kid. So it took a few weeks to work through your whole class. That was such a great practice, and I kept it up the whole time I was teaching, and I tried to get through everybody early in the year so that the first contact they got from me was a positive thing about their kid.
Oh, that's really good.
And so then when I did have to come and say, hey, so-and-so hasn't been at school in a while, or come with something more negative that had happened at school, that relationship had already been built. They were starting to build trust with me. Uh-huh. So that was a practice that, to all you teachers out there listening, that was a great one to build practice. It was hard with parents that just couldn't be as involved. And honestly, as a teacher, as a human, I really learned over the years not to judge, because parents really were oftentimes just doing the best they could. In DC and in Texas, we also had lots of international parents, people that had moved here recently. English was not always a first language. Sometimes, I remember two or three parent-teacher conferences in DC where a translator had to come in from the embassy, help us get through a parent-teacher conference. And I know that's true for people in our Westover community, trying to communicate with their teachers. And so as a teacher, just noticing that and trying to find ways to reach out to that parent. And if it meant getting a translator, if it meant whatever I could do to try to help communicate with that parent. And if you're a parent in that situation, I've never lived in a different country where I didn't speak the language, but if you are a parent that is new to America, please try to find someone at church or at school that can help you communicate with your teacher, because they do know your child and they want to support you in that. So
I feel like that is huge too. There are so many people going back to find someone that can, if there's someone at Westover, right? There's so many teachers that can help you go to that, or a neighbor that you know really well. Just going back to that, it takes a village.
Yes.
There's so many people that are willing to help. You just have to like reach out. And I mean, even your teacher, if you said something to her, well, like, yes. Hey, is there someone that can like help advocate for me? I'm sure your teacher can connect you with someone. I just feel like teachers are just so important and impactful in lives. And even when Kaysen, he was in Kinderbridge, his teacher was the one that pointed out she was like, there's something like going on. And like, it was our first kid. We didn't know. So we took him to a doctor, she suggested, and that's how we found out he had PANDAS. And I am just like forever grateful for her, because I don't know if we ever would have like put that together. We're just like, he is angry all the time. Yeah. He is, just all the things, but it's your first one and you just don't know. So it just does take so many people besides just your immediate family to help raise a kid. Also just like friends, like y'all.
Yeah.
It takes so many people.
And I was thinking about what you were just saying about Kaysen. I will say, trust your teacher when they're bringing something to you, because I myself have been a teacher a long time. And then there's even things I miss about my own kids, even educational things I miss about my own daughters and our son, just because I'm their parent. I see them more at home in relating with their brothers and sisters and playing and being on vacation. And I do help them with their homework. And I'm like, I've done this 15 years. I should know this. But sometimes their teacher would bring something up. And so your teacher is seeing them in the education setting about what's going to help set them up for success with reading, with writing, with math. And so, and there are so many great specialists on the campus that can help. So just, there are just times that we just, as parents, we just don't know what we don't know. And your teachers and the support staff really do see things that will help make your kids successful. So just trust that they're wanting your child to thrive in that education setting. And it may be something that you didn't know about your kid, or maybe didn't even want to admit about your kid with some sort of disease or learning disability that you didn't know they had. But that's what's so great about schools, is they do have those structures in place to help them thrive. However your kid is going to thrive in school, you know, maybe extra dyslexia help or a special autism class or just all kinds of different supports that schools can help with.
Yeah. And just remembering that everybody is out to like, wants the best yes. for your kid. They're not just like, oh, I just want them out of my class in dyslexia. Yes. It's like they want the best. They want them to thrive.
Yes.
Yeah. So in classrooms, I know there's a big variety mm-hmm. of kids. You have the ones, you know, that are high achievers. They may be in Quest. And yeah. then you have the ones just kind of fly under the radar. Mm-hmm. And then the ones that get taken out for different things, you know, yeah. behavior, or they need extra attention, they need some therapy with the right. counselor that's on campus. What do you do? I guess I know it's probably hard for teachers, the ones that aren't taken out for different reasons, they're just flying under the radar right there. How would you go about teaching them how to, I guess, advocate for themselves? I know I'm big with my kids because they're the ones probably that fly under the radar. They're not taken out for things or need extra attention or anything. And I always talk to them a lot about like, if you don't get this, you need to advocate for yourself. You need to go to your teacher and tell her exactly what you're not understanding and not just be quiet about it and go on about your day.
That is a super great thing to tell your kids like that. I don't know about my youngest yet because he's only in pre-K, yeah. but my older two are in elementary and they're like that, you know, well-behaved, kind yeah. of middle of the class, grades are pretty good, that kind of thing. As a teacher... on the teacher side of it, I did have to stop myself sometimes and be like, okay, who do I need to check in with today? Because like you said, I could tell the high achievers that were getting it right away didn't need a lot of support. You know, sometimes there were kids that needed more support. And so on the teacher side, and to all you teachers out there, that is a hard demographic to try to meet, is to make sure that you're really checking in with those kids. I think what you're saying as a parent, and I myself as a parent, that is a great thing to do. Sometimes they'll come home with homework or a project and then I'll think, I'm not sure you really understood that, and say, let's go back. You know,
yeah.
I can't go talk to your, or I'm not going to be the first thing to talk to your teacher. Teaching them to advocate for themselves, like you were talking about. And that's a great thing to tell those kids that do just fly under the radar. And they're usually your pleaser kids. You know, yeah. they just want to do what the teacher says. They don't want to cause trouble. But getting them that confidence to say, you know what, I don't understand this math problem. I'm just going to go check in with my teacher. And as a teacher, that was always so great, because sometimes I thought a kid got something. I thought, oh, I didn't know they weren't getting it until they came and asked, even though I was trying to do checks all around the room. So that is a great skill to teach your kids, especially those oldest pleaser yeah. kids that don't want to rock the boat and make themselves known. But it's not, just reminding them, it's not displeasing. You're not rocking the boat. You're helping your teacher. She's there to help you. So learning to speak out on your own is so important.
Yeah, this year Kaysen was really, really struggling with math. And he just was not getting it the way that his teacher kept teaching it. Like he would go yeah. to her, try to get her to explain it. And then finally he was like, can you reach out to my teacher from last year? Because I got it from mm-hmm. her and she doesn't teach there anymore. And I finally found her email address and her phone number. And it is just, I don't know, he's like thriving now in yeah. math. And he just loves going over there every Wednesday and she tutors him. So I just like encourage people, right? Just if the teacher, right? If you can't get it from the teacher, maybe the teacher has someone else to push to like, this person is really good at dyslexia or yes. this person's really good at math, or maybe the counselor can kind of help him with some of this stuff. So just reaching out to all the people that are involved in school and church, yeah. your neighborhood, all that stuff. So, because it really does take the village to raise the kids.
And once again, teaching your kids to advocate and then showing your kids, I'm going to advocate for you.
Yeah.
You came to me and you let me know that that was a struggle. And of course, we're going to go figure out, you know, and I've done the same thing. One of my old partner teachers helped Zoe with reading back in first grade yeah. around those COVID years when I thought, ooh, we just need an extra boost because of all this crazy school. So leading by example with your kids, that advocating for yourself is not rocking the boat. That's just working with confidence, because we all have things that we're not great yeah. at that we need help with. And just showing them it's okay to go ask for help. Let's go figure this out. Let's find someone who can help us.
Yeah. Well, thanks for stopping by, Allie.
Absolutely. I love being here.
Thanks.